The first reading this morning is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
If you'd been standing in that crowd that day, you would have seen something that no one had ever seen before. A man who'd been dead for 4 days walking out of his tomb. So let's think very simply and briefly about what happened, why it happened, and what it means for us. So what happened? Well, we've just seen it. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus dies. Jesus delays going to see them. And by the time Jesus arrives, it's too late. Well, it seems too late. And Martha says what many of us have felt at some point, I think. "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you'd have just been here." But Jesus goes to the tomb, he calls Lazarus out, and the dead man walks out alive. But this is the key. Jesus tells us why this happened. He said, "It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." This miracle is one of the 7 signs of Jesus in John's Gospel. It shows us who Jesus really is. Not just a healer, not just a prophet, not just a teacher, but one who has authority even over death itself, the Son of God. That's why he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not, "I can explain the resurrection to you," but, "I am the resurrection." So life itself is standing there in front of them. What does it mean for us? Well, this isn't just about Lazarus. It's also about us, because every day, each and every one of us will face death, guaranteed. But Jesus says, "The one who believes in me, even though they die, will live." So for a Christian, death is not the end, because Jesus walked out of his own tomb. And that means the final word does not belong to death, but to Jesus. And praise God for that. I'd like to finish now with a very short story. It's a true story. In 2001, a firefighter called Stephen Siller had just finished his night shift in New York when he heard about the 9/11 attacks first thing in the morning. He turned his car around to go back and help, but the tunnel into Manhattan was closed. So he parked his truck, put on all his firefighting gear, really heavy gear, and he ran through the tunnel to the towers. He went into the towers to rescue others, but never came out. And now every year, thousands of people still run that same 5K route in his memory, and it's called the Tunnel to the Towers Run. Why? Well, because something about that kind of love for others stays with you. It tells you that a life given in love is never wasted. And as good as this story is, Christians believe in something much greater. Jesus didn't just risk his life for us. He gave his life for us and then walked out of the tomb. So the one who stood outside Lazarus' grave and called his name is the same one who says to us today, I am the resurrection and the life. And that means that for those who trust in him, the grave is not the end of the story. Amen.